Hey guys, you like Film Sack? I think you probably do because you're listening to it. If you enjoy it and other shows on the Frog Pants Network, why not hop on over to patreon.com/frogpants? It's a great way to contribute to the show in very small ways, even get some cool rewards and help the shows stay on the air. Film Sack thanks you. Frog Pants thanks you. Go to patreon.com/frogpants. 3, 2, 1. Wait, 3, 2, 1.
You'll never see me again because I'll know every move you make. Use your head, lie low, and I promise no one will hurt you. If you try to skip out on your testimony, I deliver you to the Connelly family myself. I promise.
Hey, listen, man, look, I owe you big time. I'm a stand-up guy, you got it? You ever need anything, you let me know, huh? Hey, what's your name?
Easy, honey, I don't think he wants to be pen pals.
Smile. You've just been erased.
He's taking a dump in a can. This is Film Sack. Oh, sure.
Hello, everybody. Welcome back to Film Sack, episode 282. This is the show that mines the very depths of film entertainment for all mankind. I'm Scott Johnson, joined tonight by Brian. How would you like to be suffocated by James Caan's mouth, Dunaway?
Oh, hey. You're early. What's that? Was I just upstairs taking a revenge poo in your toilet and now wiping my poo hands in your towel? Come on, Lee. I'm Daryl, the bad ex-boyfriend, and I am only here to do one thing. And that is to get railed to that wall in 3, 2, 1. Ouch. And now for a very special, important PSA. Hello, young ladies. Let me talk down to you for a minute. If you break up with a boy, get your keys back. Don't let a revenge poo happen to you. Don't do drugs.
Wow. That's really good.
Yeah, that Daryl guy, man. I'm telling you, he was upstairs taking the biggest revenge poo you can imagine.
Have we ever had a trope alert in the greetings? Because right? I think we should have played it.
Yeah, revenge poo is actually it comes up a lot in a lot of movies. We just never talk about it. No one ever talks about the revenge poo, except films.
No one
films
expects this. the Spanish revenge poo.
Also with us, Randy. Never run from bad guys at a zoo. The monkeys will give away your position, Jordan.
That's a good point. Aloha, Scott, Brian. Did I ever tell you guys about the time that I was a security expert for the Witness Protection Program?
No.
It's an office of the United States Federal Marshals. You might have heard of it.
What's that?
The job is you know, there's a lot of different ways to be a security expert at WITSEC. My job was to make people look different. You know, some people have the job where they quickly hook you up with a new job at a bar, like let's say a drag queen karaoke. Those are the real, like, the top level experts. My job was to make people look different. That's right. I specialized in things like beards that don't attach to glasses and noses that you can actually blow and the nose stays on your face. But what people knew of me most, the thing that I got famous for at WITSEC, was making people's ears so much bigger and so real that they called me the ear acer.
Nah, that was a long way to go, but you got there.
Wow, that is a...
Did Randy play in the long coming? Game?
That wasn't just a dad joke, that was a father joke. Woo.
I love a shaggy dog story. Go on.
That was rough. All right, also with us, and finally, Brian, welcome to the world's most dangerous CGI gator exhibit. Please don't feed the animals, you hitmen. Ibit.
For the screenwriters in this movie, Arnold uses his gun like a Swiss Army knife with bullets. Shooting a keypad to open a safe? They wrote that. Using a gun to shoot the mercury switches of an anti-fire sprinkler system to set off the fire alarm? They wrote that in there too. They inserted so much crap into the screenplay of this film that it seems like the one thing the screenwriters didn't have access to was an eraser.
Another one. I love it.
It's true. It's so weird how this movie doesn't have an edit button.
Right. Yeah.
Oh, it does. It says stop on my screen. It says stop.
Oh, stop.
This movie, oh, dude. Gosh. Oh, gosh, dang it. I don't even know what to say. Well, okay, here's the deal. Normally, Scott Fletcher has a thing to say about it, like a little deal. But one of us in the room may have forgotten to communicate with Scott Fletcher this week about what our new movie was. We had kind of a confusing couple of weeks with travel and other things. So I'm going to just say, here's Scott Fletcher with more. All right, now I'm going to mark it. Okay, and we're back. Thanks, Scott Fletcher, for that, assuming you said things. And if you didn't, maybe it was me. I don't know, but it's not your fault. It's mine. All right, Eraser. I saw this movie when it came out in the theater, and I don't remember a damn thing because my memory was that it was this cool rail gun all the time, like constantly mm-hmm. using a rail gun, and it was like Quake 2's rail gun.
Quake. Yep. Quake. That's the one that had that. The gun that could go through the walls, like you'd see it going through the walls and it would come through.
Yeah, it was great. And you could headshot people. It was amazing.
My memory of the one time I saw this movie was also that the rail gun was explained really cool.
Mm-hmm.
And watching it again and the explanation was so unfulfilling.
It's not, Brian Dunaway. It's terrible. It's awful. It's not a good... Okay, look. Our memories betray us all the time. We remember what we want to remember. But holy shit, there was barely any of this gun in it. And when it was in, it was cool. I think that kind of looked great still and kind of held up. But it was just barely there. And that's the whole movie for me. So the rest of it, it was just kind of bad.
Mm-hmm. Have you guys, and I'll put this to the audience too. Have you ever gone to YouTube and watched one of those videos? It's like top 10 worst CGI special effects ever in the history of movies. Mm-hmm. I don't understand why this movie isn't on all of those videos.
Right.
I thought this was okay. Come on.
Come on.
The alligators for 1996. Freaking amazing alligators. What are you talking about?
Were they?
This was the world is not enough levels of bad CGI.
I would say this is actually better than world is not enough. I think it's a little bit better.
Okay. Hold on now. Okay. So 96, we're 3 years out of Jurassic Park at this point. Mm-hmm. The rail guns were fine. I don't know how they were achieving that. I assume that was CGI as well or whatever. And they looked fine.
Tubes.
Yeah, they were tubes. And they looked neat. I'm trying to think what else would have mattered here. So there's the falling out of the sky bit, which was kind of okay to bad.
This movie has a lot of falling,
yes,
by the way.
Yes. What man versus plane.
Man versus gravity is the thing in this movie.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Man versus
man with parachute versus plane. Holy crap.
Yeah. And then man with parachute.
That's going to be the hardest thing to dodge ever.
And then man versus actual parachute after that. And then man versus roof of car 5.5 seconds after the parachute opened again. Anyway,
right.
I just want to say after the bad CGI of him being morphed onto the outside of that plane and him falling in this ridiculous shot, it actually became a really good stunt. Mm-hmm. And it made me sad that they even felt like showing us the CGI part. Mm-hmm. Like they could have just cut that right out.
They did okay. Schwarzenegger actually fell like 60 feet for one of those.
Into a bunch of cardboard boxes.
Right.
But the takes where they've got a stuntman all wrapped up in a parachute, mm-hmm. that's just pure, you know, dude falling from an airplane stuff. And it was beautiful. And I was scared. I don't feel like I had any business being as tense watching this crappy movie as the movie made me feel.
Right. To do that shot, they have to have a dude falling wrapped up in a parachute. And it seems like there's about a billion things that could go wrong with this stunt.
Well, even though that stuntman probably had a parachute on that wasn't the one he was tangled in, just the idea of being tangled in a big sheet of anything, being midair anywhere, that just seems like that's a pretty intense stunt. Like that totally worked. I saw that and went, oh, all right, this moment here is pretty good. And then gators that look like complete shit. I know you're saying for the year. I get it. And you're right. Like in 96, this probably impressed me then. I don't remember it at all, to be honest. I remember the rail guns and that's pretty much it. I remember rail guns, Lady who was in Penthouse and got defrocked and lost her crown.
Yes. That and whole debacle.
I remember Arnold. I remember everyone thinking Arnold was this ancient old man, and they couldn't believe he was coming back to do movies, which really is weird to me now, given that he looks fine. And also, it was like 4 years after Judgment Day. Nobody was complaining then. Like, I have a weird memory. This whole movie.
Were people really saying that back then? I mean, I thought this was right in his heyday.
Well, his heyday.
Well, no, this was near the end of Arnie's run, and everybody knew it. Everybody knew he was supposed to be transitioning out of being a leading man action star and into a support role. We just didn't know at the time that he was going to become the governor.
Yeah, he was going to support California was going to be the leading man, and he was going to barely support him. But no, I don't know. He looks fine. He looks like he's in his prime, you know, physically, certainly. He doesn't look old or anything. He just looks like he's fine. But he's got some of the...
He doesn't look old to your old man eyes, Johnson.
Listen, his...
But back when we were 18.
No, you're right. I mean, look, you know, he's not in his commando shape or anything, but still, his some of the worst dialogue of his career is in this movie, and I don't remember.
You say
that,
but I spent this entire movie putting a little check mark next to a note that said, "Oh wow, Arnold can act," because over and over he had these moments where he's dealing with people who are double and triple crossing him, but he has to not let on, and you would see these little things on his face. He didn't have a line, but he had to act just using expressions. And it was really good.
You got to remember, he just came off of True Lies 2 years previous?
And True Lies was another case where he did a really good job acting for Arnold. Relatively good job.
I agree.
Also, and Arnold versus Planes.
For some reason, I was thinking this was before True Lies. Okay, so this was after.
94 was True Lies, unless I'm remembering that wrong.
I was thinking it was 90s. Wow.
Why was I thinking this was like early 90s, like 92, 93? It's 96. Jeez.
Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah, we're moving along.
You know, I think Randy hit what I still like about this movie. Now, this movie has changed a lot for me as far as what I took away from it. I'm with you, Scott. Back in the day, it was all about the railgun. I couldn't believe they were bringing video game stuff to regular movies. It was super exciting. But I think the fact near the end of the movie, I realized, I think the same thing that Randy realized, which is I feel like my butthole was constantly tight because I was going, wow, this is super intense. Why is this so freaking intense? And it's got to be the music. I think the music and the shots that they're giving us are just super intense.
I think it's bad music, though. It's intense music, yeah. But it's bad.
Music?
No, it's bad.
I didn't like the music either.
It's really bad.
I felt like it was super cheesy. Casio tone.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I'm gonna try to split the difference. I'm gonna say the music was kind of junky, but it was okay for the time. And like Brian Dunaway said, it had the effect that they were going for. Mm-hmm. So you know, just giving it its due for 20 years ago. This movie's 20 years old, guys.
Oh my lord!
Now wasn't it also nominated for a sound? Let me see here. What was it nominated for? Actually, it was nominated for something.
No, it wasn't. Really?
Sound effect editing.
Really.
Yeah, probably for the railgun.
The railgun sound was pretty neat. I'll give him that. Yeah. But just to give you some perspective on how when you're younger, time is different. It was only 6 years previous, or if you look at it from when production started, it was like 4 or 5 years previous, that Total Recall came out.
Sure.
And that's crazy to me, because if you think about 5 years ago from today, and then think of an actor, and then think about what he's doing today, I don't see it the same at all. Like, it's just, if to me, that feels like two different eras, and they could be 100 years apart. Like, Eraser and Total Recall could not be further away from each other in time. In my head, I mean.
I've noticed that for you, Scott, there's a BC and AD on Jurassic Park.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Big time.
That changed everything.
Yeah.
And you feel like the farther past Jurassic Park you go, the less you're going to let a movie slide on bad graphic, bad visuals.
That, but also it does feel like a dividing line to me, like quite literally like a physical dividing line in film, where there was everything before it and then there was that, and something about it, not just effects, but something about that movie was modern in all kinds of ways that's difficult for me to articulate, but there was something
I'm
going to
say
it.
For people 20 years younger than you who didn't get to see such things in, you know, in their natural habitat, that movie is Avatar. What do you think?
Oh, Lord.
You think Avatar separates again. I don't know.
I don't know. I don't know if Jurassic Park does. I'm saying this has to do with where you are as a viewer.
Oh, I don't. Yeah, I don't disagree with that.
Maturity.
I'm sure of that. Like Star Wars was that for me as a little kid, but it also must have been that for somebody. You know, I don't know, some 23-year-old who was like, oh. Now this changes everything, and he saw it from that. You know, I completely agree that that's a very subjective thing, but for whatever reason, for me and I guess my generation, Jurassic Park just feels like a shunk, like a stick in the sand that said, all right, everything from here on out is going to look different, be informed by, sorry, special effects, out goes the Harryhausen, in comes the... the Larryhausen or whoever's making the graphics.
When you think about those movies, I'm sorry, I'm like pushing for a point, but I don't know why. It's just really on my mind lately. When you think about those movies like Matrix, like Avatar, Titanic, there are these films that they don't just stand as good visual effects achievements, but they also get everyone to go see them in the theater.
Mm-hmm.
Right? That's the thing. Like we probably won't be talking about Ex Machina 20 years from now.
No, it didn't transform everything.
It didn't get there, but it deserves it. And so I kind of wonder what is it about those movies? What got everyone to go to the movie theater?
Yeah, there's something touch-tony about them. You're right. I don't know what that is. I don't know how you quantify that. If you could, people would be doing this every time a movie came out. They would figure out that formula and just do it.
And that's another thing. There weren't a huge number of dinosaur movies. There were a couple of Matrix ripoffs, but it wasn't like that was all you were seeing for a decade. Mm-hmm. You know?
Yeah.
Except on the straight-to-video market.
That's what I mean.
There was plenty of dinosaur movies there,
but it's a lot easier to mimic the style of Matrix and what made Matrix Matrix than it would be to mimic what made Jurassic Park Jurassic Park. Right? I mean,
yeah, I agree.
Doing a dinosaur movie is a blatant ripoff of Jurassic Park, but doing a guns and sci-fi and other dimensions and traveling back and forth and stuff like that.
Mm-hmm.
Doesn't necessarily make you say, oh, all right, well, they're just trying to do the Matrix.
You've got
the bullet time. You've got the slow motion stuff. And yeah, you can say, all right, that's Matrixy, but it wouldn't be as blatant. And we wouldn't notice it as much as if they were doing.
There's also very, it's not like they
you
were
know
the,
didn't
the first.
Change everything?
What?
Eraser.
Yeah, that's true.
But you're trying to steer us back.
Well, here's the thing. Before you steer us back, I think it's important to say this about the Matrix. The Matrix is not the first cyberpunk, weird dystopian future time travel-y hoo-ha thing ever made, right? It stands as a beacon of those things. Why? Well, I think it's because there's a tone to it that was new, fresh, and felt right. And it very quickly became what I consider to be. I have a list of about 10 movies I think are perfect movies for lots of categories and reasons, and I won't explain them here. It'll take too long. But I think the Matrix is on that. I wouldn't even put Waterworld on there. Waterworld's just great. Waterworld's great for other reasons, but it's not definitely not a perfect movie. But like The Matrix, Jurassic Park, Raiders of the Lost Ark, Empire Strikes Back for me, there's a few that are just, they're perfect movies. And I would put Mad Max Fury Road on that list now. And it's because there's something about it being, I don't know, there's a tone and a newness and a like, I've seen these pieces before, but not in this configuration.
Right.
That just feels good. And maybe that's editing or timing or directing or perfect time in the culture or something. But Eraser's not that. Eraser is a little shit stain on the carpet. It's not this great.
This is the execution of a story that came along that fit directors and actors who are already looking for something. And I think it just kind of fit
really
that script.
You really get the feeling that this movie was made in the casting office.
Right.
Like it was not made on a script. This great movies start with great scripts, and this one did not have one. But you get the feeling like, oh, wow, we can get James Caan and James Coburn and James, the other James. What was that? There was several Jameses in this movie.
Jim James.
And Michael Papa John? I mean, come on.
Future entrepreneur of the pizza delivery service, Papa John's Pizza.
Robert Pastorelli. Oh, Rest in peace.
I can't think you can of who say that this, is.
By
Who's
the way, there's
guy?
The Curse of Eraser. A lot of people died after making this movie.
Oh, really?
Like immediately or like over? This is an old movie.
Well, we saw it happen to Cromwell.
Yeah, Cromwell. He died right there in front of our eyes. He's the only one alive still. Conspiracy.
James Coburn is dead. Robert Pastorelli is dead.
How did Pastorelli die? I guess I didn't realize he was dead.
From eating knockoff Alka-Seltzers. That's how he died.
He died at age 49.
Whoa.
Wow. Like the reason you haven't seen him in a movie in over a decade is because he hasn't been able to make one.
Because Murphy Brown's handyman, right? Like interior decorator guy.
Yep. About that. Correct. Yeah. Yeah, you're totally right about
that. Not immediately after Eraser, but a few years after Eraser, he overdosed on heroin.
Oh, gosh. Geez. All right. Jeez Louise, that's not a friendly way to go. That's a terrible.
So he probably did look like he had Alka-Seltzer.
Right.
He's only 49. That sucks, dude.
Jeez.
Drugs.
It's kind of old to be doing heroin, right? Don't you kind of like work your way out of that?
No, everything's a gateway.
Aren't you too old for heroin?
that's a young man's drug.
No, everything's a gateway. Right there? Yes, you can. Hold on, right here.
I've worked in a couple of really large companies now, companies with over 1,000 employees, big buildings. We don't have an infirmary. That's BS.
Yeah, that was weird. I guess it's because the higher
with
security.
The
What'd you say, Don or Brian?
Weird. Ibit.
Is it with EMTs?
Oh, yeah.
with poorly trained EMTs that don't even check to see if someone's unconscious before.
Can I call that the worst scene in the film?
Their IT department also works in the infirmary.
Yeah.
Let's reboot him.
You can easily call that the worst scene in the movie. I've never worked for a company with more than 1,000 employees, and I assumed that was bull crap. That just seems like a total hoax to me. Only like Tony Stark would employ like an entire hospital staff or something in his building. You know, in some ridiculous way. But yeah, there were a lot of things in this movie that were like that, where I would be like, oh, that's the thing. All right. And then I would drift off and think of other things and go, oh, shit, I missed some dialogue I'm supposed to be paying attention to.
That's like big capturing audio here.
I got some great audio, but I really, really wish it just didn't hold my attention. And I don't remember feeling that way in the theater. I guess maybe it was big and loud and cool in 96, but it just didn't do it for me. And Vanessa Williams drove me crazy in this. Crazy. I don't know what it was, and I like her, but she drove me nuts in this movie.
Yeah, this was 96, and I felt offended for women everywhere during this movie. I was like, wow, they're the only role these women seem to be taking is pretty lady who can't help herself, and she's probably, I think one scene, James Caan, when they were going to check on that one witness, he was like, well, she's probably just in there making muffins. I'm like, what? Why is she inside making muffins?
Because she's a woman.
She's a woman. She may as well be in the kitchen.
It was really sad how the film made her a damsel in distress and then decided, wait, we don't want to damsel her the entire movie. So we're going to make her a badass damsel, which is a different kind of trope. But then the movie couldn't figure out how.
Yeah.
How to make her a badass damsel? It just forget it. This isn't.
Let's do it with a handshake with a gun to the leg.
They never got around to it. They never got around to making that work like at all. For the record, this director, whose name is Chuck Russell, which is, I don't know, it sounds like
great name.
But it's a great like spy guy name.
He sounds like a professional basketball player.
Really? Yeah, Chuck totally, Russell. Yeah. Chuck Russell, 0-for-3.
His movies include, so here's his complete directorial list. He did 1987's A Nightmare on Elm Street 3, Dream Warriors. He did The Blob remake.
I love The Blob remake. So
the 88 one, we may have to look at that. The Mask, he did The Mask with Jim Carrey in 94. He did Eraser, then he did Bless the Child, The Scorpion King in 2002, an episode of Fringe. And then a bunch of pre-production things for 2016 that have been on the pre-production list for about 8 years. So,
oh, wow. Really? Okay.
Yeah. So I don't know what he's doing.
So he's still waiting for those Kickstarters to fund, basically.
Yeah. Could really use your support. Patreon.com/Chuck Russell. Thanks.
I did a racer.
You remember that? Remember that?
We didn't even say who's in this. I guess we have sort of, but Arnold Schwarzenegger, Vanessa Williams, James Caan are your main ones. James Colburn's in there. So James Colburn died after Monsters, Inc. When was Monsters,
Correct.
Inc.? That was like 2003.
2001, right?
Three?
One?
Two? One?
it seems a lot more recent than it is.
Yeah. He was a big crabby monster, and he was great in that. And I remember being sad.
2001 was Monsters, Inc. Yeah.
Okay. Ah, I got it.
Nice job. That also had Steve Buscemi in it, which a lot of people forget. He was the little lizard.
He was the squirrely dude. Yeah, the main enemy.
He was fantabulous in that. Anyway, trivial stuff speaking. What? Scott?
Trivially speaking.
Wait, I smell toast. I smell toast. All right. Arnold Schwarzenegger premiered Eraser at the Olympic Village in Atlanta during 1996's Summer Games. The Goo Goo Dolls performed a live concert before the film was shown.
And the kids are all going,
just to set the scene.
Who are they? No, hold on.
Toad the Wet Sprocket opened up for him. And
Fountains of Wayne.
What was the good Goo Goo Doll song? Or not the good one, but the one they played on the radio constantly.
Iris was Slide. The one. Iris.
Oh, sorry.
Right. Yeah.
So I would say Slide was
Slide
the song.
Slide was the single. Well, I mean, biggest. Iris was the one that was huge because of City of Angels.
Mm. Right. Wait, City of Angels. Was that the Nicolas Cage thing?
Meg Ryan.
Yeah.
I remember liking that. Is that a
thing? I never saw it.
You've never seen City
No,
of
and I don't think I need to. Do I? Come on.
You might need to.
You can don't, get, but
can
we're
I
gonna.
Get what it is just basically from the previews? I mean, there are movies that I'm like, you know, I'll say, oh, that is one I need to see. I saw, you know, totally, guys. Oh, I never seen the A-Team, guys. Oh, can't believe that.
Yeah.
But City of Angels is one I don't feel like I have to defend.
You probably don't. Yeah, save your energy for something. Definitely.
I want to wake up where you are.
Save that energy for the next time you where you have to explain.
Oh, that was actually Slide. That wasn't even Iris.
Yes, yeah, I
that
know. Was Slide.
Nice job.
They're still around, actually. Goo Goo Dolls played out here at Irvine Meadows a couple years ago, and they have been putting songs on movies. They had a couple of different songs on the first two Transformers movies.
Yeah. Well, there you
Maybe
have
that's their thing. They're kind of like the Kenny Loggins of the 90s and 2000s.
Oh, yeah. Right.
Got a filler for a soundtrack? Hey, I'm your man.
I've kind of felt...
I'm Goo. This is my brother, front, Goo. Sorry, go ahead. What?
On the actor front, the two characters, Schiffer and Calderon, was I missing something there? Was there an inside joke? I felt like there was very, very pointed... To say those two actors' names like it was some kind of reference to something. Did you guys?
I don't know. Again, I don't think this movie is as clever as you want it to be.
Maybe that's a problem.
Right.
Yeah, it's not as clever. It's not as clever as you want it to be. It's not as good as you want it to be. It's not as short.
Tony Two Toes.
Mm-hmm. I mean, at least
three toes.
Subtlety. Yeah.
At least it was just shy of 2 hours. That made me happy. That was all right. There were two walk-on parts that were actually prizes. I don't know where they were. I could never point them out, but they were $4,500 each. You could pay this money at a Planet Hollywood auction in 95, and that got you in the movie.
Wow. That's awesome.
Yeah.
One of them
was the guy who shouts, hey, why do we have to leave the zoo?
Oh, that'd be amazing. If that
I
was
would
one
just
of them.
Like to, I would just like to remind Sylvester Stallone, Arnold Schwarzenegger, and Bruce Willis. If the food had been good, it would still be around.
Yeah. No, you're right. You're not wrong about that. Planet
well,
Hollywood.
Still a casino.
Yeah. But then this is because people are drunk and don't know that they're eating garbage.
Yeah. Well, and then they don't serve. I mean, there's not like a Planet Hollywood restaurant at the casino.
Oh, that's
there's really barely, you know, other than the memorabilia in the rooms, there's really very little that ties Planet Hollywood in with Planet Hollywood, the restaurant.
Yeah, we're the actors who all got together and started it.
Right. It
feels like a failed venture.
Search that place for a picture of Sylvester Stallone, Bruce Willis, and Schwarzenegger. Yeah.
Well, and it's one of those failed ventures that failed very slowly. Yeah. Like it wasn't like Blockbuster suddenly closed 10,000 stores one day. Like Planet Hollywood was everywhere, and then that one in Chicago that you went to is no longer there. And then in the next year they closed another one. Mm-hmm. Like it was the food. Other restaurants were opening for the entirety of that decade with better food.
Well,
it wasn't a place you really went because you went for the food. You went to see all the crap tacked to the wall. Same with Hard Rock Cafe.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. But with Hard Rock, at least they're like, oh, so Chili's is still around by reinventing themselves all the time on the menu. So Hard Rock keeps at least trying. I'm going to stay, neck and neck with Chili's. That's kind of sad.
Yeah, they're like second. They're like third. They're like a second tier Chili's. You're right. Everything there feels like, oh, I had this at Chili's like 4 years ago. Like they've got the old menus. It's really weird.
Right?
It's really weird.
Hey, I got a piece of trivia for you that's not on IMDb that you won't find anywhere else.
Lay it down.
Because it's fake.
Okay. Tina worked for the company at the time, in 1996, worked for the company that made that giant robot armature thing that moved discs around and...
Oh, you mean the inside of what I suspect Redbox looks like?
Yes, exactly. Like finding your copy of We Came as Romans or whatever it is, and right. shoving it out the hole. Yes.
Hold on. Have you guys never caught the Redbox being refilled, restocked?
I have one time.
No, I never
have. I've only seen it once.
Tell me there's a little guy in there.
There's right. No, it's actually kind of boring.
Former Blockbuster employee.
I hate my new job. They don't need to do it. Redbox is shockingly popular here. Where I live, yeah. Every time I go to the grocery store, they put a second Redbox next to the first Redbox in my grocery store.
Wow. You only got two?
Yeah.
We have one near us too where they added another one because there was so much demand. It's a weird thing that thing's still so big, and it's annoying too
because when you have the multiple ones at a location, you look it up online. So I go to redbox.com first to make sure the movie's going to be there. Yeah. You reserve it and sure. you show up and you're like, which one's A, which one's B?
Mm-hmm.
Oh, no.
No, I can't do it. To me, I feel like that's like fax machines. It's like 8-12 steps backwards in technology to me that we're going to Redboxes. I do, because here's my reasoning. If I want a movie, brand new release, I can go get it.
If God had wanted me to see this movie, he would have put it on streaming.
I can get it. I can get it on Amazon or iTunes or any other rental service for $3.99 or whatever and have that thing like tonight and start buffering it and be playing it within 5 minutes. I know it requires a big connection, you know, or it needs to have a decent broadband connection and that not everybody's got one of those. But it's like fax machines to me. It's like, well, where do I get my physical media? Get in your car and drive to a gas station where there's like a little weird box to get it out of. It's just weird.
Look here, Utah, man. This is how the rest of the world does it. We go, we pick up our groceries. While we're picking up our groceries, we're already out. We go, hey, look at that movie for half price. Chikunk, chikunk, chikunk. Come on, me. Yeah. Let's go.
Right. And usually it's stuff that you can't get. For me, I go there and get something I can't get on streaming or that's not available yet on digital. And it's like, you know, $1, $2 for whatever. Great.
Because new releases on demand, if you want to get an HD release on like Amazon, it's like $5.99. That's a big crawl
over
from the
at least. Right. Yeah, but then they're like $7 or $8.99.
But then you get it home and it's all boogery and it gets skips and it won't play because some
Where
kid.
Where do you live, Utah, man? Jeebus.
It's just to me, it's like an extension of the Blockbuster days, which I'd like to put behind me, frankly.
It's the same people who apparently put poo on the 3D glasses and putting their boogers on the Redbox.
Whenever Scott says that, knowing where he lives, I'm just like, white people are so
white people are so nasty. Just let me tell you
Listen, I actually live in a very Hispanic area right now. But
I'm fascinated that we're just now first talking about Redbox in the 1,000 episodes of this show because it's really genuinely a thing that is a growth sector that dispense your own movie and take it home.
Oh,
thing.
I don't know that it's a growth sector.
It is right now. It may not be a year from now, but right now that thing has been exploding.
I bet if you look it up, I'll bet you'd see a decline in Redbox use. I think that's what I think it was Tom Merritt, tech maven of the internet, said that Redbox was on the dip. You may be right that it's sustaining and it's.
Oh, Tom Merritt said.
Yeah, I'd have to. I don't have any links to refer to at the moment, but I swear that there's some talk that's. I'm just saying it feels stopgappy. Because at some point, everything's going to be available all the time at the touch of a button. And it's already close to that. So
the only gap left is the movies you have to go see in the theater if you want to see them today and not 3 weeks from now. Right. That's the only gap left.
Right. And I'm not even sure that gap will hold forever. I'm still convinced there'll be a day where I can, maybe I still have to physically go do it, but I can go to a movie theater and say, all right, I can either go in there or there's this kiosk out front that will sell me a Blu-ray or 4K version of the thing I'm about to see for 40 and I can just take it home for $40, which is about what I'd spend to take the whole family anyway.
Right.
So let's just get David back.
Redbox survives on a loop in the ability to rent physical media that Amazon and other places cannot take advantage of. renting physical media, they don't have to purchase no big licensing or anything, or they haven't in the past. They may have some agreements now, but you could essentially purchase a movie and rent it out.
Yeah, it's like a fax machine. It's like a fax machine.
Yeah, yeah. Whereas Amazon can't rent you a digital copy without lots of digital rights protection and that kind of thing. So, they've definitely found a way to be profitable in an area, in a very specific area, and I think they're going to be around for a while because there's a need.
They may be able to transition. I don't know that they'll have the same. So I didn't mean to.
They tried to transition to the streaming before, but I think
they pulled out.
Yeah, financially, it's a very different structure.
If they were around the time that Netflix was around, they may have had a real fighting chance when Netflix was still just doing delivery rentals because they could have, the memberships that were just discs, they could have been the ones to do the streaming revolution, blah blah blah, and be the first company out there and be the tip of the spear, but they weren't. Because of that, it's harder to compete now, and now everybody's in on that business, but they need something like that to survive. I guarantee you 10 years from now, Redbox will either not exist or they would have found a way to transition something else.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. I mean, 10 years from now, I agree, but they're going to make their money in the next,
And we're arguing about the niche, and the niche is, my boyfriend is going to go stand in line at the butcher counter. What do I do while I'm at this grocery store? The two sides of that argument are, I'm going to go stand and look at all of these big pictures of movies and pick one and take it home, or video games or whatever they are. And that is something people do. I've seen them. I've seen them stand in front of that thing. And
it's
because
just an entertainment, yeah.
Unlike your computer screen, these are big pictures of movie posters and they're side by side. So you can compare them and make decisions. That's one side. The other side is, that person will get distracted by something else in the near future. They'll be sitting on their smartphone in the grocery store, ignoring the red box and dialing up the movie at home that they want to watch when they get home.
Yes, right. You know? I agree. They're already, in some cases, doing that.
Maybe that's where Redbox's placement comes in, and they add on a service where while you're standing at the red box, you can log into your Xbox 2 and send, instructions that you've paid for to prepare the movie that you're going to
watch. I got the answer.
Until they start mailing my meats, and then it's all over.
Well, you're in the line that I was thinking. Convert all those kiosks to like hot wing dispensaries. Like, go out to those things and like, do you want a movie or do you want a thing of buffalo hot wings? I'll take the hot wings. Thank you very much. Stick them out and poop them out. You're done. There. Now you've got a future, Redbox. Thank me later.
Hey, Red Robin out here has figured out that if you bundle dinner and movie tickets all in one thing, you can get people to go and buy both.
And you know what Red Robin and a lot of restaurants are doing that really impresses me? They're putting freaking iPads on the tables that you can play with to keep you ordering drinks.
Yep.
That's amazing.
And you can also pay and get the F out of there.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, you don't have to dink around. You can even do a little tip right there. Like it's a future I'm embracing. I love it.
The last time I went to Buffalo Wild Wings, I've got my kid with me. They're like, would you like a game station for your kid? I'm like, game station? Okay.
To take home?
They bring over this big Otter boxed iPad with all these games on it. And the free ones are fine, but they can get you for a few bucks if you want the premium games. Mm-hmm. And it keeps you there. There's no chance now that I'm going to be one of the families that orders and runs out quick because my kid is throwing a tantrum. Nope, he's taken care of, and I can sit at Buffalo Wild Wings and watch the game. What does this have to do with Eraser? Eraser sucks.
Yes, that's right.
What it has to do with is,
listen, I got one thing to say about your iPad at the Buffalo Wild Wings. How greasy and disgusting is that iPad?
See, it always comes back to the boogers on the Redbox disc.
Oh my gosh.
The poop on the 3D glasses.
Yep, and the schmear on your Buffalo Wild Wings OtterBox freaking iPad. I guarantee that thing's like so thick you could like do finger painting in the goo that's on it from somebody else before you. Ugh.
Hey, how heavy are movie corpses? I'm just curious. Because they're just picking those goddamn bodies up and just throwing them like they just weigh like about
light them. You can just throw it over your shoulder and get on with your day.
Oh my gosh, you just made my whole day better when you said that. Not only was that a great transition away from iPads at restaurants, but it was...
Transition implies some sort of slow-moving...
Done.
It was like...
That was a slap across the face to look to your left.
That was a rail gun off the toilet, really, is what that was. You had a good question. That's a really good question. When I saw them coming in, I thought those would be like burnt, like bones, because they were so light. They were barely moving them, like big deal. These aren't very heavy. And then when they opened them, I'm like, no, those are big flesh and blood dead corpses. There's no way that was so easy to just throw over.
I could kind of like suspend belief with Schwarzenegger. I go, you know, hey, maybe he could pick up two guys, but you know, we got spaghetti arms over there picking up one, no problem. Robert Pastorelli picking up somebody, ain't buying it.
Yeah,
it also another tropes. Mm. Oh, could there be any more mafia tropes in this? We got the Italian mafia, we got the Russian mafia,
we got Roma mafia.
Yeah. Roma mafia.
You got the what are they? The what are they called? The labor union stuff, like that. All
yes. I love best scene in the film is when Joe Vitarelli shakes down the guys at the docks. Oh,
I hated it.
It made me. Oh, I loved it. Rest in peace, Joe Vitarelli, another person who died after making this movie. Freaking that whole scene where you gotta, if I don't see union, you're in big trouble. It was just beautiful. It made me happy. Come on.
I love how you word that after. This another person who died after making this movie. It implies that these people all had some connection to dying. It's like everyone who has died since Eraser.
All been erased.
The Eraser curse.
Yeah. I remember, you know, when the other day when Gary Shandling passed away, rest in peace, by the way.
That'd be sad. Yeah.
Just note that all happened after Eraser. Big conspiracy.
Right, it did. And people have been dying ever since this movie came out.
I know.
It's ridiculous.
I know. I know. Some older, some younger, but I'm telling you, there's a connection someplace in there.
There's got to be a connection. Also, this is kind of, I guess this lies in the trope area, but only one thing can foil building security, and that's either a pizza delivery guy or janitors. Every time they fall for it. Every single time. Pizza!
Yeah, always, right?
You've got to let me in. This is one of them beautiful cheese and pepperoni.
Yeah, that was really bad.
Nothing suspicious about that whatsoever.
Nope.
None.
So the computer tech, let's talk about that for a second. It was really bad.
Yeah.
Everything they tried to be all gooey, and I remember back in the day thinking this looked really cool because we're talking 96, so what, Windows 95 was just barely a thing, and we all thought that looked all right, and
we were all ordering our Gateway computers and Dell computers. It was awesome.
Yeah, it was a good time to be alive, and then you know, the internet really wasn't here yet. If it had been, they wouldn't worry about all these discs so much. There was a lot of mini disc worrying about. And I kept thinking, there's only four copies. I'm like, well, the internet existed in 96. It's possible this is like bundled up on some Usenet server somewhere.
That's what I was going to say. I had to be on some Usenet server.
And the internet had only recently gone graphical.
Right. Before, 94,
it was not long before. We were just browsing in text only.
I was running Netscape in 96, I think.
I was Alta Vista-ing. It was awesome.
I was just going to say that same exact reference.
Yeah, this is like 2 years before Google. Think of that.
Lycos.
Oh, my gosh. That's how you got to – that's another dividing line. 98 was Google, right? Google launched in 98, I want to say. It feels like there's a dividing line there between when the world was and now how the world is.
It's an actual true story that I was working for a startup in Austin that partnered with Google in 99. And – Google was smart enough to make it a one-year deal to renegotiate a year later. And, we could have bought part of that company.
Oh, my gosh.
It kills me that the startup I was working for had an opportunity to just buy a part of Google and just rest on it.
Think of that, Brian. Google Randy, you could have moved up in the company, got a bunch of stock. Your name could be, I don't know, you could be wearing Google Glass right now doing the show.
I'm just saying, everyone thought Google was such a flash in the pan thing. This is nothing. This is gonna be exactly as big and temporary as Hotbot. You know, like no one expected Google to become what it is.
Yeah. Well, no one ever expects any of those things. If you'd have walked up to me, well, I think someone may even have done this, but back in like 95, 94, if you'd have said, by the way, buy as much Apple stock as you can, because this company that looks like it's on the verge of bankruptcy and complete and utter destruction will one day be the largest market cap in the history of the freaking world. You just laugh at them and go, no, they've had their day. They're done. Steve Jobs is nowhere to be seen. They're about to take a big poo. There's no way this is going to work out. Man, if he just bought like 1,000 shares. of that company.
For the company, nothing. I always say I'd like to go back to their nadir and buy a part of the company when it was cheap is Harley Davidson.
Yeah.
That company didn't freaking exist in the 80s. Like they you know, they've been around for 100 years, but there was a time when they went to nothing. And oh, you could be so,
you'd be loaded.
Successful.
You'd be loaded.
Yeah, and it's not like it's ever waned, you know. I mean, Harley Davidson, to the people who love Harley Davidson, there has never been, well, yeah, in the, you know, late 90s, early 2000s, people didn't care as much about Harley Davidson. No, it's been like steady.
Steady. It's just now more broad and finally everybody gets it, I guess. Now.
There was such a funny Reddit discussion. Like there was like an Ask Reddit or something where people asked for serious replies to what's the best motorcycle manufacturer in the world, and people who really knew motorcycles were replying, and they were just crapping all over Harley Davidson, and the Harley aficionados were losing their minds. It was really fun.
They're not going to let that happen. It's like, to me, this whole conversation's like okay, you're Disney in the late 70s, early 80s. Boy, you know, John Lasseter, you're just not working out. You're kind of a rebel and you're pissing us off. We're going to fire you. You fire John Lasseter. 20 years later, he is the head of all animation at Disney and probably the most important person in the history of animation since Walt Disney himself in terms of like money-making potential, you know, story stuff, and also just breaking all the, you know, breaking a bunch of conventions. But they just, no one has the vision for this stuff while it's happening. You've got this guy in there and you're thinking, well, he's a real pain in my ass. Let's fire him. And you don't understand. No, you have a genius in your midst. So who knew that Apple would do its thing, or who knew that Google would do its thing? There's just no way to predict this stuff.
That's got to feel good being a dick coming back going, now you fired me, didn't you? Yeah. Now I own everything.
Yeah. They came in and you know, that you could argue that every successful animated film since Lasseter came on as executive producer of all animation, they've all been better. Like Frozen is a phenomenon, not because it was this girl thing or it was whatever. It's because John Lasseter is in charge. The guy has, you know, he has the way. He knows what he's doing. He's a freaking genius. So I always think of him. If things are going bad, think of him, or think of Steve Jobs getting fired from his own job, or from his own company, or whatever. And then you'll turn around that frown and turn it into a smile.
If only Lasseter in 1996 had gone to work for Warner Brothers and learned how to animate alligators.
Oh,
see, you brought it back around.
That's nice. A transition.
I think those alligators. I thought those alligators were great. Mm-hmm. I didn't. Mm-hmm. I wasn't no.
really
distracted. I thought they were lit great.
Completely differently than everything around.
Oh yeah, I know.
What do
they were
you
like Chinese
want?
Chinese lantern gators is what they
are.
Were.
You the same people I watched Sharknado with?
Yes.
I mean,
Sharknado was a little better. I mean, it had all of these years and years of better computing to draw on, but man,
better computering. I like that.
Computering.
So when that Italian guy that died from heroin got the chest things,
Robert Pastorelli,
that guy, when he got hit, when they did the chest stuff,
because
they're the worst medical people ever and couldn't tell that he was cogent, and we're like, oh, let's put these on him anyway. Wouldn't that kill you? Wouldn't that stop your heart or something?
Oh, at the very least, he would have been in much greater dire straits than he was going in.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Oh, I had the name of that woman. This movie has very, very few women.
Yeah.
There's basically the woman in the house at the beginning, and then there's Vanessa Williams, and then
the corpse.
The third, the only person that is also a woman. Her name is Cameron Manheim.
Oh!
She's the one shocking Robert Pastor.
We know her. She's from Boston Legal.
Right.
Yeah.
Among other things.
Yeah, many
She's
things.
Been on a
Ghost
lot
Whisper,
of TV
where,
series.
Yeah. For what?
Yeah.
Ghost Whisperer. Oh. Remember that show?
I don't know why that's making me laugh. That's the way you said Ghost Whisperer. So wait, is she on? I didn't know she was on that.
Yeah, but she was on Ghost.
The Best Friend season 2.
I never saw any of that. So, but she was kind of a big deal for a while. What happened to her? She's not doing anything now.
She's still working. No, she's still working.
Okay.
She's still on TV.
All right. Mm. Yeah, don't you remember, like between her and on Boston Legal, she was like the big breakout on that. Like,
right.
Oh yeah,
right.
That's interesting. Okay, well, anyway, so that's her. I didn't know that. We had her, and also Flattery's in this. We forgot to even mention him.
John
Slattery.
Slattery.
What did I say? Flattery.
So that'll get you nowhere.
Quite literally in this conversation, but yeah, Slattery's in this, and his hair isn't quite as white, and he looks identical though in almost every
right.
That got his name.
Yeah, so. Well, you know, his hair started going white when he was 18. It didn't get fully white until about 30.
I like that guy. Even in this, even at this pupae stage, he was fun to watch in this.
Oh yeah.
Even though he's kind of barely in it. The James Caan thing. Oh, I got to play this. Here you go. You just saw that coming a mile away. Of course he's going to turn out bad. Like the second I saw him, I went, "Oh, your old trainer, is he? Your old mentor. You don't think he's going to turn on you, do you? Of course he freaking is."
Does anybody really like James Caan?
I mean, I like him for what he is, because you know he's going to be a dick every time. It's like, oh, it's James Caan. He's going to be
he's either going to be a dick or he'll
be a dick in real life.
Yes. Too. Yes. Right.
Sometimes he gets very well cast. Mm-hmm. Like he was perfect in Elf.
Yes. Yes, I was going to say Elf was beautiful.
And that's where you start out as a dick and you come around.
Right.
Right.
But also you just have to, like, he was never really bad in that movie. He had personality, you know? But like generally I see him in this movie and I'm like, oh, I'm gonna have to watch James Caan for 2 hours.
Mm-hmm. You know? Right.
Actually, his dialogue is some of the best in the movie. And
his CPRing was some of the worst in the movie.
Right, yeah. Mouth to cheek resuscitation. Right.
When he suffocated her with his mouth, I thought I was gonna die. That is like the worst.
That was a horrible idea.
You're killing me with your old man breath.
Yeah.
But it seemed like he was completely missing her mouth. And I don't know if it was just like a, like it wasn't in her writer to have James Caan mouth on her face.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. And you know how I get about actor breath? It's like an old, like an old crouton or something. Just like this nasty crouton breath, man.
I expect spaghetti. Yeah.
Can you imagine, by the way, this actress, she's working her way up in Hollywood. She's taking any role. This is going to be a role where she gets one line and it's like the first time she's ever gotten a line.
Yeah.
And she's like looking at the script. Wait a minute. What's going to happen to me?
Like, James Caan's
it's just gotta be so depressing.
Yeah, it's really depressing. Especially, so when he's doing it, he's got his mouth on her mouth. And he's making it so she can't breathe. He's pinching her nose. I understand the setup. It's like, oh, it looks like he's trying to resuscitate her, but really he's finishing her off. But there's this great moment where he's got his mouth all on her mouth and holding her nose, and she's flailing away. And he keeps just kind of, while he's not taking his mouth off her, keeps glancing up to see who's coming.
Looking around. Yeah.
He's looking up like he's been caught eating potato chips.
Yes. I was laughing so hard. I don't think
I'll bet you couldn't really suffocate somebody by putting your mouth over their mouth. I think you could, getting suffocated like that, I think you could still go, you know, and.
Well, right. But she'd been shot. She was dying. Like,
well, yeah.
Sure. But I still think there was a better way. Like,
right.
Oh, there was so many better ways.
And she could still do the.
Yes, the old velociraptor. She could do that.
What did you have for lunch, James Caan? Blur. It's so gross.
It tastes like craft table.
Oh, it's so gross. Like cheese and croutons. I don't know what's going on. Anyway, yes, Brian.
I hate to jump to the other weird death, which would be death by train. Now, this is always overkill to me in movies. It's like, how are we going to kill these people? Well, I know. We'll somehow get them on train tracks and then let the train engineer take the fall.
Yeah. And, well, not even if he doesn't take the fall, because he can't do much about stopping. It's still like, let's make that giant mess, tons of collateral damage, exploded car, parts everywhere, shrapnel in people's homes. The train is now derailed. The rails themselves are all jacked up. We got
the engineer
four.
Now has to go to therapy.
Right. We just cost the city like $4 million.
Yeah, there's all of these things. It's terribly inefficient. And and also it's highly illegal, even if they're douchebags. He took it into his own hands, right? Like
it seems so unnecessary, number one, to go that far. And number two, to stage your own death right before you're gonna do that anyway.
Mm-hmm. Right, right.
Yeah. It was he erased himself. Yeah, he erased. Yeah. I have been erased.
I can't stop it. I'm erasing everyone. I can't stop. I'm obsessed.
I have some really
serial eraser.
I have some really good clips of all of this. Would you guys like to hear some?
Oh, yes. Yes. My God. Please play some.
Okay, here's some. Here's one. Here's this.
Who the hell are you?
That's quiet. Why is that so quiet? Let's try that again. Here we go.
Who the hell are you?
Oh, this guy getting choked. I liked how he sounded. Get
off my neck.
Yeah. I like that. All right. Something about your eyes.
Close the eyes.
Who are you?
Shut up.
If every quote, if every quote you play has someone asking who are you, this is going to be amazing.
It could be. Sadly, I don't have that many, but I thought his accent had gotten better by 96, and this next clip will kind of illustrate that it hadn't. In fact, I think it dipped a little bit. So here he is, 1996 Arnold's accent.
Yes, there's been a murder at 232 Alton Drive. Send the police.
Send the police.
Send the police.
This may as well be like 81 or something. He sounded like his old self in this.
This script had no self-awareness. Did you notice not a single person hearing his voice for the first time said, wow, where are you from?
Yeah, that's true. But right. They did.
I think only in Twins do they ever question.
You're right. Every other movie he's in, they never question it.
Right.
Like when he was in the, what was the one we saw where he was the
Terminator,
border?
They don't even like, do you have an accent?
Right, right. But like what was the border town one we saw recently?
The Last Stand.
Last Stand.
Yeah, no one's, I mean, I think maybe they made some passing family reference or something, but no one ever questioned the fact that this Arizona sheriff sounded like Christoph Waltz walking around. Nobody ever brought that up. Django. All right, here's this bit. It's one of his things.
Smile. You've just been erased.
Never mind, that was a good other guy there. Here's some good cops. These cops are great, so let's let them have their say.
Who the hell was that?
I could tell you, but I'd have to kill you. Now shut up and run this again.
All right, jeez. Shut up and run this again.
Okay. Seriously, like, I don't know. I know. What?
They're bad. What? They're bad cops. That's all I know. James Caan.
That's just lazy dialogue, too.
Yeah. Here's James Caan saying a thing.
And so, with a little sleight of hand, one very dead John Doe trades places with one very live scumbag.
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 Scumbag. I love the way that sounds. You're a scumbag. All right, here's the... Here's how you know you're in a movie that's only about a decade away from whatever the big political turmoil of the time was. Okay, so here's a reference you haven't heard in a long time.
You're major defense contractors.
Mostly top secret weapons research. Looks like someone inside Cyrez is selling out, Uncle Sam. Feds need her to prove their case. If they do, she'll be the key witness in the hottest scandal since Iran-Contra.
Oh my gosh, Iran-Contra.
Wow. Oh, this was, Iran, it was months before the Monica Lewinsky scandal. Like, it wasn't just like a long way off.
It was like a year. No, it was like more than that. Wasn't it like 98 that all went down? It was like a couple of years before that, I think.
I'm just saying.
Oh man.
And now I'm hearing it every time that they say Cyrex or Cyrez. It was originally Cyrex and they had to overdub, like you can hear it in that one. There was a company that was Cyrix or something that was too close to the name and said, no, you can't do that. And so they had to redub everything.
Oh man, I was hoping you'd say it was because of Cyrex and Mortal Kombat, the like robot fighter.
you can pretend that that's the reason.
Okay,
you don't realize how many places they put Cyrex in this movie until they probably went to edit it, and they're like, "Holy crap, it's on the security guards' hats, it's out front, porter, oh, but stuff." Geez.
Yeah, right. Well, that's funny. I didn't notice that, but you're right. All right, here's what's this? You don't say. Oh. I wrote this. Okay, you don't say amateur this way. I know how to say amateur. If you say, boy, that's an amateur job, or he's a photo amateur, or whatever. This is not how it's said by one Vanessa Williams. Check it out.
Not bad for an amateur.
Not bad for an amateur.
Amateur. Huh.
Now, I know I hear some people say amateur, right? But not amateur. Come on.
Amateur.
Not bad for an amateur.
Ugh, freaking hate it.
Yeah, that was pretty bad.
Whoop, I didn't mean to hit that. Yeah, I don't like that.
And by the way, she's this is such invented drama. She has to sneak in to steal some plans that are in a safe computing room, which is a thing that has never existed at any company in the history of the world, but is in movies and over.
Oh,
and over.
No, it does, and that's a real machine that Tina's company made that would go into you know, high security places.
Yeah. I'm sorry, Brian. There has as depicted in Mission Impossible movies.
Well, yes. Yes. This I know what room, you're saying. You're right.
With,
yes.
with its eyeball retina scanners and so on. Like, yes, a lot of companies have computers that aren't networked. I get that. And right. there's a lock on the door, sure.
But there's not a vent this, where you and, yeah. and, you know, Luc Besson or whatever his name was can, like, yeah. hang down by a wire.
Jean Reno.
Jean Reno, yeah, sorry.
Luc Although Besson's it would be fun, wouldn't it, to just quit what we're all doing and go start a company installing the laser security systems
yeah.
in oh, all yeah. these places.
That'd Man, be so that'd cool. That'd be so cool. All right, here's James Cromwell doing his thing.
That's someone I trusted for 5 years. Someone I told others could be trusted.
Well, I was pulling the staff.
Don't! We're way beyond bullshit here.
Whoa, we are. Okay. Ooh. He's a little angry. Well, that'll do, Pig. That'll do.
That'll do, Vanessa.
Yeah, this guy invented the warp drive.
So mad he might shoot himself in the face.
Yeah. This is him again, I think.
Shit, we're dead.
Nope, someone else. Shit, we're dead.
Shit.
Yeah, that was someone in the van realizing that she'd been pinched.
Oh, right. Right.
Shit, we're dead.
I like the emphasis on shit and then this right. quick, we're dead. That's good.
It's like there's no comma.
I think this is him freaking out again. No, this is something else.
I should ask you that question.
No, that's just her talking. Okay, here it is. Cromwell being pissed.
You have no f***ing idea.
Okay, was this movie rated R or PG-13? My memory
was PG-13.
Okay, because they got like 3 F-bombers in there. And a lot of blood, like the guy's arm getting ripped off by a fake alligator. If it was PG-13, it felt like they got away with something to me. You know, a little bit.
Right. I could see. Yeah, a little bit. A little bit.
Multiple F-bombs in 96. Ripped off arm. I don't know. Lots of railgun shooting, blood and whatnot.
Railgun shooting, yeah. Pew pew pewing,
and pew pew with the
F-bomb dropping. What are we watching?
Oh, I am incorrect. I was looking at other ratings. No, in the United States it was R.
Oh, all right. I don't know. It still doesn't. My memory was PG-13, but then again, I always thought The Matrix. In fact, I still swear to this day The Matrix released at PG-13 and was later R. And I still maintain The Matrix was never content-wise R material ever. Second one had more R material in it than the first one. The first one was like, what'd they do? Like, name something in the first Matrix that's R level content. They never dropped any F-bombs. They never had any sex.
That latex suit that she's wearing is so tight.
And not like the gunfight? You don't see like gore and...
Nope. It's all very, very above board. They kill some cops. That my theory has always been that maybe that was it. But then I've seen movies where they kill cops and they get a PG-13. So I still to this day. And I mean, listeners, this is an important point. If you guys want to write in and convince me why you think that movie got rated R, I would love to hear it because it makes no sense to me. I would actually say it's on par. Kind of how I feel about Fury Road. There's so little in that movie that. Constitutes an
R rating. You've heard my ages of the MPAA theory, right?
Oh, yeah. No, and I agree with it.
And so the MPAA in the late 90s, just after the Ken Starr Commission and the rise of Fox News, got a little more restrictive for a little while. Mm-hmm. They kind of flexed some muscle in the late 90s, and I think Matrix is right in the middle of that.
You're probably right. I hate I hate that that's true, though. Well, actually, I don't care because I'm seeing
it. Oh, you want to hear something cool, though?
Yeah.
About Eraser? There are 10 uses of the F word in the movie Eraser, and someone on Netflix has put the times that they are used in the parents' guide on IMDb. So
what's that
you
for?
You can mute the movie at those specific times while watching it with your child.
Oh, what an enjoyable experience that must be for a father to sit down, have the little chart there, and you know, that's terrible.
That's just a towel handy.
How about just watch something else with the kids? Eraser?
I really want my child to experience Eraser, so now I can finally do that.
Yeah, and you have to have a chronometer up on the screen the entire time. Oh, it's horrible.
Those are people with way too much time on their hands. All right, here's that weird fire sound in every movie that has a fire or an explosion that's about to happen because of a fire. This sound gets used every time. Here it is. You know the one? That backdraft.
At least every 10 minutes in backdraft. Yeah.
Yes, backdraft. I think it is the backdraft sound, basically. By the way, Batman v Superman had a Wilhelm scream in it, and it made me die inside because it was poorly used. We'll talk.
Oh no, really?
Yeah, we may talk about that later. The acting is very bad in this movie. I have 19 seconds of proof.
What? Are you hurt? Are you bleeding?
I don't think so. Are they following us?
No. Just calm down. You're gonna be fine.
I'm not gonna be fine. Look, they just tried to kill me. And Daryl's dead.
Lee, you're alive. And I'll keep you that way.
That's garbage.
I will keep you that way.
That way.
Keep you that way.
That way. Come cash your checks
that
here. Way. All right, here's
keep me what? Alive, alive. Alive. Keep you that way alive.
He did that getting out of the plane. Did you notice that? He did his thing.
Oh, yes. I'm hoping you captured some of that.
I tried. It was too loud.
Oh, too much engine. Wind noise and stuff.
Yeah, all that stuff. All right, here. What? I don't know what this is.
I think you know what has to be done. Do it.
I like that guy.
I don't like being told that I know something. Just tell me.
Yeah, just say what it is. Guy in the car.
Yeah. Here's what's the minimum wager at this blackjack table? I think you know what the minimum wager is. How about you just tell me?
Yeah. What is Arnold saying? You guys need to help me decipher this one. I can't understand him. So here it is.
All you have to do is pull the trigger.
What does he say?
Why don't you put it to the go?
Hold on, listen again.
All you have to do is pull the trigger.
I think he says.
Why don't you? Yeah.
Is it, why don't you? Put the okay, is it why don't you? That's what you're saying?
Why don't you just?
Okay, let's try it again.
All you have to do is pull the trigger.
I think.
What did you do?
Okay, you didn't. You made it worse. Somehow, you made it worse.
I think.
What'd you do?
I think Skype twisted that one around. All you have to do is pull the trigger.
I think he's saying. Okay, so wait.
All you have to do is pull the trigger.
I think he's trying to say all you have to do is pull the trigger, but they didn't do another take, and he screwed it up. That's I think.
One more time.
Okay.
All you have to do is pull the trigger.
All it is pull the trigger.
Can we just play that for 10 minutes straight? I just want to hear that on a loop. It's the greatest thing you've ever captured.
All you have to do is pull the trigger.
It's terrible.
All it is pull the trigger.
It's a really, I could not make it out during the time of its recording. All right. Here's I said that's not nice here, so we'll see what that is.
Did someone take her out?
Peeled her like an onion.
Oh, yeah. Peeled her like an onion. I kept thinking, what does that even mean?
Right.
I don't like that. That incites all sorts of horrible thoughts. What did he say? Oh, here's another. What did he say? I got more of these. Okay, here's another one.
You jumping out through there like shit through a goat.
Oh, yeah.
What did he say?
You're going to go through that engine like shit through a goose.
Oh, shit through a goose.
Really? Okay, wow. I didn't hear that.
That was good. Wow, okay, this is almost as bad as pull the trigger.
Because I know it's actually in my Twitter post.
Oh, it is?
Say one more, play one more time.
All right, one more time.
You jumping out through there like shit through a goose.
Oh, yeah. The engine.
Yeah, you're gonna go through there like shit through a goose, which I know shit comes out of a goose, but it doesn't go through the goose.
No, and it doesn't.
Like a goose is not like a shit tube.
No, and it's not like a big mouth with a turbine in it. Like there's no comparison. It's like more of that tree over there is like a sweaty monkey on fire. It's like what?
Like you're gonna come out of the other end of that like shit through a goose, shit out of a goose may be better, but.
Right. I do like misassigned colloquialism stuff like that. I like it when they say things like that.
Is that even a phrase?
What? Misassigned? Hold on,
I'm looking it up. Like shit through a goose.
Oh, I thought you meant misassigned colloquialism. I don't think it is either.
Oh, no, it's in Urban Dictionary. Wiktionary has it, too.
And what, shit through a goose?
Like shit through a goose, yeah.
All right. We'll name this episode shit through a goose. All right. Let's see. Hit the daddy's truck? I don't know.
Is that your daddy's truck?
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. Dude, that is truck. Is his name Bob? Really? Bob? Yeah. Upstate New York? Junkyard?
Yeah. There's something about that kid. You know he's up to trouble.
Is that your daddy's truck?
Yeah.
Who's
that? Give me $5.
All right, here's something about balls.
The captain, sir, wants you put out a citywide APB. I want this town locked up so tight it'll make his balls ache.
Okay, why would locking up a town so tight make his balls ache?
Because it's so tight. Okay. It's like not just tight like I can get out of this town. Mm. It's tight like it is compacting you so tight.
Okay. Mm-hmm. So it's like, oh, this road's cut off. Oh, my balls. Oh.
There were like 5 references to balls in this movie. I'm shocked you didn't capture all of them.
I may have avoided a couple of them. Here's another Arnold line.
I have to protect my witness.
I have to protect my witness.
Okay, I found a very interesting clip. This is really, I feel like I've unearthed some serious stuff here. This is Brian Ibbett's parents. presumably your dad, a possible stepdad, I'm not sure, before prom. This is before prom night. So it's probably just hours before prom took place. And this is what they told you.
The disc, the girl, the guns. By dawn, they don't exist. Are we clear?
Yep, there you go. And you said, okay, Dan. Okay. I promise I'll get rid of the girl, the gun, and the disc.
I all miss right. my When in Rome disc.
Aww. All right, I wrote this guy for whatever reason.
You can't accept any deliveries.
Oh, that, yeah.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, yeah, I love when he does that.
You can't accept any deliveries.
That's great. That guy's great. Okay, here's what this.
He's running the disc.
Shit!
Oh, yeah. He's like... I liked all of the crony people everywhere that would say just dumb stuff like that.
A lot of angry acting in this film. Yeah,
agreed. Okay, this guy made a weird noise. He was being choked and made this sound. Choked by
an angel.
James Caan, I believe. Choked by an angel. Fantastic show. Too bad it's gone. No, it was a guy. It was James Caan's choking a guy, and this sound came out of that guy. That.
Oh, that's it?
Do you hear that? Isn't that weird?
It's like Pong or something.
It sounds like a Blue Man Group instrument.
Should have gotten the whole clip so you could hear it in context.
It does. It sounds like a blue man striking a PVC pipe.
Yeah. Isn't that weird? He grabbed him around the neck of the guy immediately went, that's so weird. All right. What is this? Meet me at the he says that he can't even say ambulance. Here's this.
Meet me at the ambulance.
Meet me at the ambulance.
Ambulance. Yeah, the ambulance.
Hey. Meet me at the ambulance.
That's how I say it. What's wrong?
You guys are wrong if that's how you're saying it. It's terrible.
All right. I pronounced every bit of that word. Look at it. Ambulance.
Here's creepy Russian man.
I think what I like and I do what I like. You will soon learn about this.
Okay. Great.
He's the most ineffective supervillain. Like the upper villain that all the other villains are working for, kind of like the big bad in Die Hard 2.
Yep.
The Colombian dictator that they're trying to extract or whatever.
Yep.
Just so ineffective. Like, I'm just going to hang out in this little room right here with Vanessa Williams. And
I think like I want and I do like I want or whatever. It's terrible.
Or whatever.
All right. Here's a good line.
All right, gentlemen, listen up. This is the last load. So keep your heads up and your assholes puckered.
Okay.
Now, that should have been what Brian's father said to him before prom.
Yeah.
Keep your heads. I just want to give you advice, you and your date.
You and your date.
Keep
both.
Your heads up and your assholes buckled.
All right. Finally, James Caan is pissed.
Now you are pissing me off.
That's it. That's all your clips. And as always, good times. Wow. Thank you so much, movie. Why, it's the Film Sack Checklist. Guy who thought he was good but is bad, check. Not near enough of those cool rail guns, check. And why have a security code box if you can just shoot it off the wall, check.
Exactly. Guns solve all problems.
Don't you love that? Mm-hmm. How you just, why even have the damn thing? If you can just shoot it,
right.
You got bad security.
And the one time that the guns actually would have come in handy, you know, when Khan tells him to drop his guns, drop those two rail guns that he's dual wielding.
Dual wielding, yeah, I love that.
And then, shoots him. He gets up. The container is getting pulled away. Instead of just picking up the railguns and shooting, James Caan, he goes running after it.
Mm-hmm. Yeah,
right.
Just shoot him.
Just shoot him. It would have been fun.
Just shoot him. They're right there. Tell him, Jerry.
What's
tell
the him. Hell? Why don't you just shoot him? Why don't you pick up the railguns?
Hey, who did it? Who did it first? Did Schwarzenegger do it first in a movie, or did Rambo do it first when he popped up out of the water with the dual-wield guns? Is that because when he popped out of that floor with the rail guns? Oh,
that felt very reminiscent, didn't it, of something
yeah,
else?
I was like, yeah.
Well, and he did in Terminator before that, right, with the two shotguns.
Did he?
Right.
Schwarzenegger
but I wouldn't be surprised if there's some old Western that everybody's copying.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. That'd be a fun one to track down the origin on that. That'd be all right. Yeah, we should do like NPR style essay, like half hour essays on the origin.
The origin of the dual wield in movies.
Back in 1931, silent film actor Gary von Peterschmidt jumped out of a bag of cheese and had two guns. And like, I would love to do that. I don't have time for this, but I would love to do it. That sounds like fun. Like Tell me the first time the first Wilhelm scream was used. And
right. You write it. We'll read it, people. Okay. Send it in.
Yeah. We need a producer. I don't have time. And what else we got here? Oh, Star Trek stuff. We got lots of connections. Vanessa Williams was Lee Cullen in this movie. In Deep Space Nine, she played Arandis in the episode Let He Who Is Without Sin. I don't remember it at all. So there's that. Tom Lupo was a hostage taker in TOS. He played a security guard in the episodes The Alternative Factor and both The Menagerie Part 1 and Part 2. Patrick Kilpatrick. Was he in this?
Mm-hmm.
I guess he was. James Haggerty, guest starred on an episode of Star Trek Deep Space Nine with two episodes of Star Trek Voyager as well. Then you got your Michael Papajohn. He was the WITSEC agent Schiffer in Enterprise, played a Klingon guard, and it was all called Judgment. Let's see, Mark Ronston, Jay Scar, played something on TNG in Enterprise, and then you got James Cromwell, who was William Donahue in this. He was barely in it, but played Zefram Cochrane in the 96 First Contact movie, and then an episode of TNG where he played a different dude. And then that's it. Oh, Dan Warner, Russian guard. He was in Enterprise, played a Detroit police officer in the episode Carpenter Street. Hold on a minute. When did they go to Detroit in Star Trek Enterprise? Is that really real? I don't remember that.
I must have been one of the seasons I didn't see because I don't remember it.
Here's an alternative Earth where the auto industry never failed and Detroit is the biggest city in America. I don't know. I don't know what happened there.
As much as people don't know Enterprise, I think they should just remake that series.
Mm-hmm. Well, like, I don't mind a Star Trek prequel is a really cool idea. Maybe now more than ever. But I think they're going pure TNG for this new series. Or TNG, post-TNG, like that era. Mm-hmm. I don't think they're going to mess around with older stuff. Well, as best I can tell. Because they've got the movies doing the Kirk Spock timeline. And you may as well, on your show that they're developing, you may as well go, you know, Next Generation era or beyond. I don't know. It'd be fun to figure that out, like to predict what we think that'll be. I can't imagine it's like carpeted and wood paneled and, you know, everyone's suits squishing their nutsack into oblivion. I don't think they're going to do that.
What I'm saying is that in the last 10 years, not a single person on Earth has ever turned to another and said, hey, you remember that time in Enterprise when?
Mm-hmm. Right. Yeah.
And that just says to me, it's like the Lost series. It could just be completely remade.
Yeah. Well, remake the theme and maybe you got me. Maybe I'll watch it again. Can't do that theme.
And yeah, has there ever been a show that we hold the theme against as hard as that?
No.
By the way.
No, name one. You can't. You can't, can you?
Prove it, you can't do it. I'm not even giving you a chance to answer. You can't.
Exactly. You prove it. You can't. So wait a minute, though. Think about that for a second. What else is there? I mean, I know a lot of people. I know some people are split on the Firefly one, but I really like the Firefly one.
Oh yeah, yeah.
I don't think it's universally as hated. I think that's it. I think if you can find a show with a less hated or a more hated theme song, I dare you. Someone at home, write in, because this is a good question for the show.
I can't imagine it. And everybody I've ever talked to about TV show themes loves Firefly theme, so I just can't imagine what could come close to Enterprise hatred.
It's real bad. Take my ship, put it in the thing. Is that how it goes?
Yes, that's exactly how it goes. Yes. Yeah.
Wash will get killed in the movie thing. all right. Let's. You guys have heard the old joke, right? How does it go? How do Reavers keep their spears clean in the Firefly universe? Anyone know?
Go ahead.
They run them through the wash. They run them through the wash. That's really funny. Come on.
I think the lesson here is when you find yourself saying the phrase, you guys know the old joke, you stop there and leave.
I love that joke. It's so stupid. Okay. All right. For the soundtrack grade, I give it P for poo. I think it was poo. I didn't like poo. It. Dunaway, you disagree, though. You liked it.
I thought it was appropriate, and I thought it got me excited and jazzed at the right places. So,
whoa,
good job.
All right.
Both excited and jazzed.
In the right places, you say. Hmm.
That's right. Like some Frank Sinatra music playing in the background of your mafia scene. It's appropriate.
Ooh, I do like that. That's the thing I'm a fan of very specifically. I like that.
But I hated that one little bit in this movie.
What?
These people who are in their like 30s are listening to 100-year-old music? No.
Oh, they were so stereotyped with those mobsters and Italians and witness protection and all that stuff was so like over the top. It was ridiculous. All right, let's move on to the Twitter post. This is where you guys, in 140 characters or less, sum this film up. Let's begin, as we often and always do, with Randy.
Eraser. Brace her for railgun tracers. Bad guys chase her. Can't locate her. Drag queen bar waiter. Awful alligator.
Yes!
That is actually the best.
That's really good.
You've ever done.
Russell wrote your Twitter post.
That's really good. That's really good. Brian Dunaway.
Eraser, time to pucker up. Here comes some bad James CPR. Funyuns.
Funyuns. That's the worst thing to eat before you got to revive somebody. Oh, my gosh. Yeah. Also, finally, Brian Ibbett.
Eraser, like shit through a goose, the last 2 hours of your life have just been erased.
Nice. You're all right. You did have the shit through the goose.
I did, yeah. I was waiting for that.
Well done. Here's this. I have in my hands, this is Foley work, I have a list. These are the alternative titles just handed to me. All these fake computer OSs are shit. That was the first time they were going to name the film, and they finally settled on Eraser. But before that, very briefly, they considered this one. I had no idea you could shoot the fire extinguisher sprinklers in the ceiling and they would go on. Those are your options.
Yeah.
That doesn't work either. Guns don't just turn everything on or blow everything up, guys.
Right, or blow up a car with a gun or open a safe with a gun.
And by the way, if you drive a train into a limo, the limo doesn't start exploding right before the train hits it.
Right.
Oh, yeah. That's true. It did. Like ignited before. Yeah. That's kind of a bad stunt. All right. We got an email. Email from someone. An email and a call today. Email is from Gangi? G-A-N-G-E-E. Would you say Gangi or Ganji?
Ganji.
Maybe Ganji.
I would just throw something on the floor is what I would do.
Samwise Ganji. I don't know. Anyway, this person says, did anyone see Batman v Superman? Sum it up, will you? I don't want to spoil anything in case people haven't seen it yet. It's certainly the opening weekend. I saw it.
Batman fights Superman. Yeah. It's summed up for you. There you go.
That's pretty much kind of
summed
it.
Summed up right there in the title.
I'll say that I didn't dislike it as much as Man of Steel. I liked it slightly better than Age of Ultron, and it's not a good movie, but it's okay. It's fun. It's all right. It's got moments. Wonder Woman's really great in it. It's got a really dumb pivot moment in the plot. There's a lot of dumb stuff in it, but it's fine. It's fine.
I've been trying to sum up the problem here, and I think the problem is that following movies like Deadpool and Ant-Man, et cetera, which are so fun. Mm-hmm. This film needed to have some fun.
Mm-hmm. It didn't really have any fun. There was no fun. The only fun was Alfred. He was kind of fun. Played great. I think he was great. In fact, I'll say for the record, I think Ben Affleck was a good Bruce Wayne and a good Batman. I liked him in it. I also think that Jeremy Irons as Alfred is a great pick. There's a future for those two. They can do more of these, more movies. I don't think Goyer should write anything ever again. His stories are not good. He's not good at writing. I don't even want to blame Zack Snyder. I've seen Zack Snyder do some great things without Goyer in the room. Just get Goyer out of there. He sucks. He's the problem with these movies.
I'm not convinced that Zack Snyder is anything other than a very expensive Uwe Boll. Like,
Oh man, that's an interesting characterization. I'm having a hard time outright saying you're wrong. That's probably kind of. But you know what? 300 and Watchmen are good, though, dude. Those are good. Watchmen is a really good adaptation of a comic book. So is 300.
Michael Bay gets a lot of flack, but the guy knows how to set a shot. He knows what good cinematography looks like. This kind of thing. Mm-hmm. Zack Snyder has some of that, but not enough. You know?
Mm. Yeah.
Not enough to overcome all of these. You know, mindless decisions.
There's some cool moments, but it's definitely, I don't know, go watch Dawn of the Dead's remake in 2004. That's the best thing he did. Snyder, that's Snyder's best.
That was Zack Snyder?
Yeah. It was the best thing he did. That's what got him noticed, and you get to see Phil Dunphy as a super douche in that movie. There's a lot of things I like.
More than 300? Like, better than 300?
It's different, right? Like, it's more practical, more of a movie. Like, nothing he's made since then didn't have a huge shroud of CGI on everything. So it's kind of hard to compare them. But I really like 300 as well. Like 300's great. I think the Watchmen thing is darn near impossible to do, and I think he came real close to nailing it. Mm-hmm. And there's some interesting artful choices in that movie that I think are really cool. I don't know what happened after Sucker Punch, but everything just kind of went flat.
Mm-hmm. Or Sucker Punch is what happened before Sucker Punch, because Sucker Punch, I'd lump into that. Ugh.
Yeah, it's bad. Well, yeah, but Sucker Punch is the pivotal like shit moment.
It's a beautiful looking movie, but boy, there's no substance to it.
Like shit through the goose.
I don't know.
Some music video. I love it.
Right. We've talked about watching 300 on FilmSack, and I think we should, because I think it doesn't hold up at all.
Oh, I don't know. This is Sparta. Kick you in the well. Whee! I like that movie. All right. Well, you know what? That's perfect FilmSack movie, though. I totally agree.
It is, especially as we approach episode 300. What's the other call-in email?
Oh, here's the call-in. This is from... I didn't write it down, so I'll just play it. So it's got a theory. It's somebody with a theory about religious movies, because we had kind of a topic about that not long ago. So here we go.
Hey, guys. This is Griswold in the lovely state of Hawaii. I was listening to one of your shows where you're talking about that new Risen movie. And I'm not a religious person myself, but I had an idea that these are kind of like ancient superhero movies. If you think about it, when you look at a lot of the stuff that's in comic books and stuff now, same kind of supernatural powers and all that, and then maybe they're just trying to counter or ride upon that that current trend of superhero movies. Just an idea. Anyways, love the show. Take care. Aloha. Bye.
Okay, so he says he sent that email at a very interesting time, because in the top box office right now, there's a movie called, where is it? Miracles from Heaven.
Yes.
Yeah. With Jennifer Garner in it, right?
Yeah, there's a young Messiah.
Yeah. Yeah. It's a Jesus movie. Now, I feel like these are coming more often. Like every other week, there's a new, not like the Cameron.
Kirk Cameron.
Kirk Cameron, yeah. But, but a lot of that sort of thing. Like Nick Cage had one.
The Justin Thoreau Easter movie, too.
Yes. Yep. And what's interesting about this wave of them, though, is it isn't people like Kirk Cameron, who's a washed-up old born-again dude. It's like people, it's people we know from like mainstream film, right? Like Nicolas Cage and Jennifer Garner, and people of some renown and some experience, and they're showing up in these things on the regular. And I think I don't know where it's coming from. Like I don't understand it.
You make fun. But
I'm not even making fun. I'm just trying to get
you make
it.
Fun of it. No, not religious movies of Kirk Cameron, but the numbers say you can make money off of this by targeting this very specific demographic, and they're making money, because you're not talking about a lot of these are not big special effects. They're just dramas. So you can have a $15-20 million budget and make plenty of money off of these things in a box office.
And you don't even have to question whether or not it's a film you can take your family to. If you're like big on the, I just want a movie I can take my family to, then.
I will have you know, there's a movie opening in a couple days now, which is a sequel to God Is Not Dead. So God Is Not Dead was a little phenom a couple years ago. Mm-hmm. And God Is Not Dead 2 is coming out. And a lot of people are going to go see this thing. I watched God Is Not Dead because it's streaming on Hulu. Mm-hmm. And I'm here to tell you, I can't imagine how that would have gone if you'd taken a smaller child to see this movie, because these movies, I think we've summarized this before. What they do is they find their audience, they identify what their audience is, and then they tell that audience what it wants to hear. Mm-hmm. And that's what makes a good religious movie. A movie that's going to make some money comes along and says, here's a character who's an atheist, and you're going to hate him, and I'm going to put every horrible thing in his mouth. And then I swear to you, at the end of God Is Not Dead, and I don't mind spoiling the hell out of it, Kevin Sorbo, the big bad atheist,
gets
killed in the middle of the street while a couple of true believers rush out there and then stand over him and pray for him that his soul goes to heaven. The movie literally kills the atheist bad guy at the end.
Wow.
And
Kevin Sorbo?
Yes.
That's amazing.
And Dean Cain is in this thing too.
Yeah. You're saying these are like chick tracks. They've all made it to the theater. Is that what you're saying? I'm talking about.
You know what it's like? It's like vampire TV shows on the WB. They know there's an audience. of people who want to watch a bunch of teenage looking 20 somethings who are falling in love with vampire men, and they're all looking into each other's eyes longingly and constantly backstabbing each other, Vampire Diary style. They know that there's an audience for that, and so they're targeting it. I completely agree with Randy that that's what's happening. There's an audience for it. There's a big chunk of the heartland that wants, you know, this kind of stuff. But I don't want to see any of it because all of it feels manipulative, and I don't want to go see one that some atheist makes either. I don't want to see anybody's movies where they're trying to cram some philosophy down my throat that isn't with swords and ray guns. Ray guns. What am I, from the 50s?
I question whether identifying your audience very narrowly, by the way, and then showing them what they want to see is manipulative. I don't know. I kind of question that. I think it's kind of smart.
I hate it. It's like, listen, you know what it is? I have a bias, because here in Utah, there is a very specific film genre in pretty much just in the state that targets mostly people in Utah County, but targets Mormon culture. And it does it through these movies. Oh, this one's about missionaries who went through all kinds of crazy stuff. Or this one's about some girl finding her father, but it's all laced in this like religious overtone stuff. And it's also very specific to kind of the local Mormon upbringing sort of culture. And I refuse to go to them because they all feel not manipulative. It's not the word. It just feels like, I don't know. It's like packaged in a way that's like, oh, I get it. At wink, wink. Pandering, y'all know pandering. Yeah. It's like, you know all about this, don't you? Mm-hmm. You know about how, isn't it funny that when you were growing up, your mom always made jello with carrot shavings in it. Wasn't that funny? It's a Mormon thing. Like, and you guys are like, what? Carrots in the jello? But hear that. Everyone who's in Utah right now who just heard me say that, you all know exactly what I'm talking about.
And half of you are named Sherry Lynn.
Yeah. Anyway. And I won't go. I don't know where you get that. That's the weirdest thing ever. I don't go to them. I can't stand them. I'm not interested in them at all. Because again, there's a pandering thing, and it feels that way with that. And I would feel that way if it was, here's a movie. Like, I won't see Michael Moore movies because I know what he's doing. He's got a huge liberal bias, and I don't see movies by some conservative freak because of the same reason. You're just pandering to the people who want to hear what they want to hear, and it bugs me. It's smart financially. Randy is dead right about that. If you want to make money from a niche, that's what you do. You target them. But I don't like being targeted. Pisses me off.
I will say again, God Is Not Dead, the first movie, is hysterical. Mm-hmm. I like it is like the Room level of, I can't believe this is a movie. Oh my gosh, did Dean Cain really just say that kind of stuff?
Wow.
It's so freaking funny. But I'm not in the target audience either. And that's part of it, you know, like if you are in the target audience, and go read the reviews for this movie, by the way, on whatever, the people who are in the target audience, they really love it. Like it makes them very happy to be affirmed constantly.
To me, it's like saying this, and I'm not comparing Santa to religion. So everyone calm down when I say this, but to me, it is like saying to a little kid, if I say to a little kid, oh, if the little kid says to me, Daddy, why isn't Santa here right now? Well, son, it's because he doesn't come until everyone's asleep and has to make sure everyone's asleep. Well, what am I doing? I am pandering to the story this kid wants to hear. Well, that's not, I mean, actually, that is kind of cool because that's the only time parents get to lie and love it, right? It's a good time.
Yeah.
And do it while you can. But you understand what I'm saying. And when someone adults are having this, it's like, oh, film today. I just can't get what I need. But this one over here that kills Kevin Sorbo at the end, that's the one I want. That's the message I need.
It sets him up. It displays his arrogant atheism. It has a college student refute him repeatedly in front of everybody. And then the movie kills the guy. It's so great.
Well, you know, listen. If you're Kevin Sorbo, man. you're gonna die. That's
thrill. And while he's out in the street getting run over by some phantom car, so that he can go to hell, everybody else has found Jesus and they've gone to like a Hillsong concert. Mm. It's fantastic.
Is there any? There's no fantasy to this or any kind of like supernatural stuff like end of the world.
No. They try really hard to make sure they don't go there. Mm. This is just because it makes a lot more sense to the the film's internal logic, if people are realizing the truth of the universe and discovering it from themselves and then embracing it, mm-hmm. you know, it's just this one really bad guy can't get there except to be killed and go see God face to face.
All right. Well, coming up on Film Sack.
It is streaming. It would be weird though. We've talked about where the coming back to the whole point from this call is, we're not going to sack.
No, it's just, I refuse. Like, it's just, I don't want to. I don't want to. I just don't want to. It's the same as the reason. I mean, it's not all that different than me saying I don't want to watch. I don't know. I don't want to.
I mean, the Michael Moore thing is a good comparison. Yeah. It's a good example. So,
yeah, I don't want to see Bill Maher's. What's this called?
Religious.
I don't want to watch that for Film Sack. I don't want to actually see it at all because I think he's mean spirited and kind of a dick, and I don't want to be pandered to. So give me a movie where people are from space and there's like a guy with a sword and a lady shooting a railgun, and I'm good. We're good.
Yeah. We're also probably never going to sack Anchorman, and it's hard to explain, but it's just not going to happen.
Probably not. Man, Adam McKay finally watched The Big Short. That guy, who knew he could go from Anchorman to Talladega Nights to this that. It's what a revelation that movie was for me. Holy crap. All right. Anyway. Could go on for days. We won't, though. What's our next movie? What are we doing there? What do we got?
Oh, crap.
Oh, crap.
Hold on.
Oh, crap.
Oh, no.
What are you going to do?
All of a sudden, we're in Fargo land. Oh, crap.
Oh, crap. You're going to get that undercoating, aren't you there?
I am cooperating,
Wade.
Oh, my gosh.
Real quick, while you're looking that up, there's this episode. Brian's the one, I think you told me on TMS. I think you're the one that told me. The guy. Okay, so there's an episode this season of Walking Dead where Morgan is backstory about where he's kind of been in between things is told. It's a really, really excellent episode. Really left a mark on me. And the guy who kind of trains him in the way of like his peace thinking and his stick wielding is the guy from Fargo, the husband that makes the 3-cent stamp with the duck on it.
Oh, no, it wasn't me that told you that. Of course that is. Yeah, no kidding.
Somebody told me that. And the whole episode, I'm like, how do I know him? And I never looked it up. Yeah. And I got to the end of it, and maybe it was Tom or somebody says, oh, yeah, he's the 3-cent stamp guy from Fargo. I'm like, no way. That is totally who that guy is.
That's crazy, yeah.
It's not a great episode, though. Dang. I'm telling you, Walking Dead this season, killing it.
Oh, yeah. Hey, did you guys see Brian Brushwood on the Netflix?
Yeah, I did.
Next to my Pee Wee Herman, which I still haven't watched, the new Pee Wee Herman.
I haven't watched it either. I feel so bad about that because I've been waiting for it.
Don't read the reviews.
Something we won't sack. Yeah. I want to enjoy Pee Wee's Holiday, and I don't want to.
I don't want to sack it either. But don't read the Hacking the System reviews just because.
Oh, it's the reviews. I don't read reviews.
No. You watch Hacking the System to enjoy Brian Brushwood talking into a camera.
Yeah.
It doesn't even matter what he's saying.
Yeah.
You watch this because he has the greatest smirk that has ever smirked.
Yeah.
Hey, that's Chief, what it's for. Here's how you save $3 at Taco Bell,
that's
Chief.
Right. I'm going to hack the system. Look at me. But we love Brian, and we all support him and want him to do well on there, and there are some real trolly comments on there. I was like, oh, okay, I'm not reading these anymore. So F that. But congratulations.
I wrote a comment that was like, hey, Nat Geo, make another season. Hurry up. Yeah, right? It's awesome.
Yeah,
I love
good.
That thing.
I liked it too.
It's a great show.
It's good. All right. So,
next week we're gonna finally watch Aeon Flux.
Oh, good.
Oh, jeez.
Not the cartoon. Not the cartoon, right? We're gonna watch the live action Charlize Theron film. Mm-hmm. That'll be good.
And then the week after that, we're gonna finally watch The Saint.
Oh, good.
Now, I'm excited about watching The Saint.
All right.
Okay.
Well, glad one of us is.
Thank you for letting us know.
I'm not interested in watching the Aeon Flux.
Yes, you are.
Not interested.
Do you know why? Yeah, there's this scene where she takes grease from the drive shaft of the truck and puts it on her head, and it's black. She wipes it all over her face.
She does it.
Hold on. There's another part where she, even though she only has one arm, she successfully fights a guy who has a gun and a face mask on. So that was pretty cool. Oh, wait. I'm thinking that Fury Road. We're screwed.
Yeah. Here's one of your Matrix, you know, kind of influenced films for sure.
Oh, yeah. Big time, right?
Yeah.
I just want to remind you guys of some of the amazing movies we have on our upcoming list for Film Sack.
All right.
We're going to watch Men in Black 2. We're going to watch Blade Runner. We're gonna watch Swordfish. Finally.
Yeah. Oh wow.
We're gonna check out Sphere, Contact, Da Vinci Code, Gone in 60 Seconds, and half of those won't be streaming by the time. But boy, I'm looking forward to
yeah.
it.
Yeah. If not, we'll put them on our list of comebacks when they do. So yeah. Don't worry, everybody. Next week it's Aeon Flux. Aeon. How do you say it? Which one?
At least we'll find out when we watch the movie.
That's true. Do they say in there?
You think they're going to say it? I've been saying they're going to say it.
What isn't that her name?
I
don't think that character is
not a. Yeah, it's not a film sack film if they don't say the name of the film in the film.
That's a good point. Right. Does she do the fly in the eye thing that the cartoon did?
Yes. That's right. That was the cartoon. I thought that was directly from the movie, but that's right. That was the.
But maybe she does. I don't know. Maybe. I don't remember. Yeah. I remember it being a little forgettable, but I'm actually looking forward to it. And also The Saint, because I hate The Saint, but I'm going to try to like it. So we'll see how I do there. Because I have a feeling I may have been sick when I saw The Saint. Like I wasn't feeling well or something.
I think I slept through The Saint.
Yeah, it was maybe a little boring and
in
slow.
In the theater even.
Ooh, really?
I'll tell you what a bunch of these movies that we're going to watch, what they have in common for me is good music, like music that makes me happy. Mm. And so I'm hoping that everybody experiences.
So like we're going to have Aeon Flux with like Bobby McFerrin. Is that what you're saying? I'm not...
It's no, the only music. Pharrell Williams.
Yeah, it's actually. The only music that makes Brandy happy.
What's your name? What's his name?
Yeah, seriously, two years ago, there were Pharrell Williams happy videos that went on for 10 hours.
Yeah, it's gone now, though. I don't even think he wears a hat anymore. I think we're done with that. I think that's over. That era is behind us. Anyway, come on back for all of that, fine folks, because we'd love to have you back for another episode of the show next week. Don't forget, in the meantime, filmsack.com is the website, and that has everything there, including our voicemail line, 801-471-0462, our email address, filmsack@gmail.com, and you can follow us on Twitter @filmsack. It's going to do it for us, for me, for Brian, and for Randy. We'll see you next time.
Like you just did it, Rays.
Come on! This show is part of the Frog Pants Network. Get more at frogpants.com.